Amen. Praise the Lord. Those songs were wonderful.
It's hard not to get excited when you're singing about God's glory and praising Him and thanking Him. Great hymns. It's also great to have Pastor Matt back. I know I'm happy that he's back. It's good to see him back. Thankful that he could have that time of rest and refreshment with his family. Praise the Lord for that. This morning I asked him, I said, "So how many times did you go to Buc-ee's?" And he hesitated. I said, "Uh-oh, this is not good." But he said, "Just twice, you know, when in Rome, you got to go." So that was a good laugh, but I'm thankful he's back. I'm also thankful for the opportunity to preach this morning. I hope that this message will be a blessing to you. I know it has been for me, a tremendous, even in the message, I'll be even giving a personal example. So I really hope that this will be a blessing to you. And so with that, if you would turn to your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to be focusing on one verse primarily, but for sake of context, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 16, Hebrews chapter 12. Once you're there, if you'd please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to interject a little bit just to bring out some points with the first few verses, but then other than that, we'll just go through the Scripture here. So chapter 12 and verse 1, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Here's our three fantastic words. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Just to interject here, I preached a message at Prometica on those four verses about the race of the Christian life and how the Christian life of faith is like a marathon. It's a race of endurance. It's a race of continuance of keeping our eyes on Jesus and keeping our focus on Him, because He is the author and finisher of our faith. And that's important, because that's gonna be a point in the message. So I wanted to take some time to bring that out. Verse 5, we continue. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Heavenly Father, Lord God, please, Lord, bless this message, Lord. Please, God, use it for your will to be accomplished. And please, God, help me, Lord, to preach this, Lord. It's not only about what's said, it's also how I say it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it would be said and preached to be pleasing to you, Lord, and to help to these people. Lord, I don't know who may be dealing with the very issue that we're going to be talking about, Lord, but I pray that it would be a blessing to them, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move, Lord. I pray, God, that you would convict hearts, Lord, and help these dear people, Lord, and minister unto them, Lord, that we may be right with you, Lord, that we may be living for you, Lord, that we may be in fellowship with you, Lord. And I also do pray, God, that if there's anybody here this morning who is not saved, who does not have 100% assurance of salvation, Lord, I pray that even through this message, even though this isn't necessarily a gospel message, Lord, I pray that even through this message, Lord, your Holy Spirit would minister to them and show them that the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, and that He offers salvation as a free gift to all that believe and trust Him as Savior. Thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. Please, God, help me. I need your help. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So the
verse that I'm going to be focusing on is verse 15. Verse 15, which says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." I want to preach a little bit this morning on bitterness, dealing with bitterness. And in the text here this morning for us, when it talks about looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, the direct context of this passage is in a group setting. It's talking about in a group looking out for that root of bitterness. And so, of course, with that, I'm going to be making applications to a group setting, whether it be this local church, whether it be your workplace, whether it be your home. There's going to be a public application. But also, I want to make sure to have a personal application, because in this group, in your workplace, in your home, you might be the one who's bitter. And therefore, it's important for us to also have that personal application so that we can also take care of something that maybe God has put before us, or takes care of something that is getting in the way of our relationship with God and our relationship with the people around us. So with that in view, the personal application, the thought I want to preach on this morning, or the title, is Rip Out the Root. Rip out the root. And what kind of root are we talking about today? Bitterness. That root of bitterness. Rip out the root. So by way of introduction, let's give some definitions about what bitterness is. I think we can, well, I won't say for sure, but I think most of us can say we've experienced bitterness before in our life. We've had that that emotion, that sin pop up in our hearts. We can know what bitterness feels like, but it helps as well to give definition, because it can help us identify bitterness. One thing that's always deceitful about sin is that sometimes you don't even know that you're doing it. Sometimes you don't even realize that it's something has taken root in your heart that's not supposed to. So with that, I have here for us some definitions of bitterness. We have this. It says, in a figurative sense, extreme enmity, a grudge, hatred, or rather an excessive degree of implacableness. Now, I don't know about you, but I went to public school, so pray for me, but I did have to look that up. Implacableness means an unwillingness to forgive, an unwillingness to be reconciled. It also says of passions and emotions as the bitterness of anger. We also have here, when we look at the Greek word, we have a little bit more color. It says bitter gall, which is bold or impudent behavior. That when you're bitter, you act differently. When you're bitter towards someone, you treat them differently. You treat them less. It also says here bitter hatred, and also has the definition of extreme wickedness. Bitterness is horrible. Bitterness is evil. Bitterness is wicked. And so as we look at those definitions of the word bitterness, I may ask, if you found yourself and you have a grudge against someone, you're bitter. You have an instance where there's someone in your life that you're unwilling to forgive, you're unwilling to seek forgiveness, you're unwilling to have that relationship restored, you are dealing with bitterness. Bitterness, it's horrible. And in our text here, it talks about the character traits and the problems of bitterness. So with that, I want to get into our first point this morning about this horrible root of bitterness. Firstly, look here in verse 15, it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. The first thing I see about bitterness is that it can be produced very quickly. That word springing up, it's sudden, it's quick. It's not something that has to be worked at. Yes, someone can become more and more embittered and become more and more bitter, but it tends often than not that bitterness can happen quickly. It can spring up fast. It doesn't have to be over a period of time. It can be from one moment to the next. Think about with your lawn, for example. If you have a yard, one day you go out and the grass is green and it looks so great. And you go to bed and wake up and those weeds have sprung up overnight. Just all of a sudden, they're there. The idea of bitterness springing up is similar to that. That root, it's quick. It's fast. Someone can be one day sweet and pleasant, and the next day overcome with bitterness. It's that quick. A person can become bitter towards another after someone else just says or does one thing. For example, it just takes that one time that, the coworker maybe leaves trash on the table, and you and it's in your spot, and you get mad at them. You can become bitter at them over that. You can become bitter against a stranger when they cut you off in traffic or do something like that. You can become bitter towards them just after that. And you don't even know them, but yet you're laying in bed and still thinking about it. That's bitterness. You can become bitter towards anyone. You can become bitter towards a friend after they just say one comment that you don't appreciate. Just one instant. And bitterness, what's so horrible about bitterness is that it has no limit, by the way. Bitterness has no limit. You can become bitter towards a stranger. You can become bitter towards a coworker. You can become bitter towards a friend. You can become bitter towards family. You can become bitter towards a spouse. Bitterness doesn't care. You can become bitter towards anyone. And the sad thing about bitterness, this root of bitterness that springs up, let's use the example of friends. You can have friends who have known each other for decades. You can have friends who've spent quality time together and have spent time praying together or having so many memories together. And then one event pops up and those friends become bitter towards another. And now they're almost strangers. Bitterness has no limit. And in that example, that's such a sad thing that bitterness can destroy so much. And I use the example of friends, but that can happen to marriages as well. Bitterness springing up. Those people who God has brought together, those people that God has had their lives cast, those people that have committed themselves to each other, those people who have said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, and then yet bitterness springs up. And that relationship can be almost torn apart. It can feel distant. It can feel foreign. Bitterness is a horrible, horrible thing. So we look at this root of bitterness. It springs up quickly. It's fast. And what else happens with roots? They grow. Listen, if you do not address that root of bitterness immediately, it is destined to get worse and worse and worse and worse. If you notice a brother or sister in Christ that maybe their cadence is off, their countenance is off, excuse me, and maybe you notice that something's off, it's important for us to lovingly approach them and say, hey, brother, sister, is there something going on? Is there something we can talk about, something we can pray about? Because it's important for us to make sure that root of bitterness doesn't grow. And we do so lovingly and prayerfully. We can't ignore bitterness. We can't just let it go. We can't just expect it to get better with time, right? That's something that time can be good. When it comes to making a very important decision, maybe a new job or what you're going to dedicate your life to or who where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, time is good. It's good to take time to pray, to seek God's wisdom, to seek God's will. Time's good. But when people say, give it time, and that's the ingredient to fix all problems, that's a lie. Time does not make everything better. And with bitterness, it gets worse over time. It doesn't solve itself. It doesn't fix itself. Bitterness just gets worse and worse over time. And part of the ingredient, if we're talking about roots here, part of that water on the root of bitterness is that stewing in anger. That's what time gives when it comes to bitterness. It's just more time to be angry, more time to stew, more time to think about how you're going to get back at that person or how you're going to what you're going to say to that person or how you're going to get back at them, whatever it is. Time makes bitterness worse. You got to address the root. You can't let it go. I have here just a brief example with Saul with David in 1 Samuel 18. Saul and David, they get back from a battle with the Philistines and the women of the city. What are they singing? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then the Bible says from that point on, Saul eyed David. One moment, and for the rest of Saul's life, he sought to seek out to destroy David. He spent his life in jealous bitterness, and Saul was the one who ended up losing. He's the one who ended up dying. He was the one who lost the kingdom, not David. And just from that example alone, we can also make this observation about bitterness, is that bitterness has a lot to do with thinking you're better than someone else. Pride is included in bitterness. Bitterness has a lot to do with you thinking you're better than someone else. And how does that play out? Well, if you see yourself as superior than somebody else, then when they make a mistake, when they wrong you, when they maybe say something you don't like, because you're better than them, all of a sudden it becomes a great offense that they would dare to say something like that. That's bitterness. That's what it does. How dare they say that? How could they do something like that to me? This is how I would get back at them. All from just one event. Bitterness. What a horrible thing. Saul, he thought he was better than David. So when David got recognition, he said, he doesn't deserve that. I'm the king. I'm the one who's the warrior. He was bitter and jealously bitter. And it only got worse and worse. Saul ended up dying. So this root of bitterness, it springs up quickly. It'll continue to grow. Therefore, it has to be dealt with. It has to be. The root must be ripped out. It will only get worse and worse. Which brings us to our next point. First was the producement, how quick it can be produced. Second is the problems of bitterness. The problems of bitterness. I have here just a simple note. A bitter root produces bitter fruit. Look here in the text. It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, one, and thereby many be defiled. Two problems in our verse here about bitterness. Firstly, when we talk about troubling, the problem that bitterness brings of trouble. We're looking at a group application. When there is a bitter person amongst your group, your home, your church, it troubles the rest. People pick up on that. We notice when someone is angry. We notice when someone's stirring in wrath or bitterness. We pick up on it, and it affects us. It changes the atmosphere of the environment. It changes the atmosphere of this local church. It changes the atmosphere of your home. It changes the atmosphere of your workplace. When there's someone there that's bitter, Proverbs 15:18. This shows just how much of an impact, how much trouble someone can bring who's bitter. It says, Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. If there's someone that's bitter, that's wrathful, it's going to stir up trouble. It's going to stir up problems within that body of people, whether, again, church, family, home, whatever. It stirs up trouble. When you are in constant contact with someone who is bitter, it's troubling. It's difficult to be at peace. Especially when it's at home, right? You know, home is supposed to be a place of rest. Home is supposed to be a place of privacy, a place where you can kind of take it easy. But if there's someone who's wrathful and strifeful in your home that's bitter, it brings a negative impact. It shakes the atmosphere of the home. Proverbs 22:10 says, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. That's how impactful, that's how much trouble a bitter person can bring, that all the problems stop when they're gone. That's a pretty big deal. That shows the impact of bitterness. There's also the personal troubling as well. We talk about the troubling in a group setting, but there's also the personal troubling. I want to say this. Bitterness is worse for you, the one who is bitter, than the one you're bitter against. Bitterness will eat you up. It'll consume you. And because bitterness, one of the character traits of it is that lack to be reconciled, which involves a lack of communication. Half the time, that person that you're bitter against doesn't even know you're bitter. They don't even realize that they did something. They don't even realize that maybe they said something. And if you would just talk to them, they'll be more than willing to say, oh, please forgive me. I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean to do that. I hope you know that I would never try to do something like that. But if you're bitter and you're unwilling to talk to them about it, you're unwilling to be reconciled, you just sit there with your arms crossed and the other person has no idea. They have no idea. Bitterness will trouble you. It will negatively affect you. How about this one? Your joy in the Lord will be gone. That's troubling. Listen, if any born-again Christian here has experienced walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, has experienced talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, fellowshipping with Him, if you've tasted and known that the Lord is good, you've had those sweet hours of prayer and those times of reading the Bible with the Lord and just rejoicing, saying, wow, Lord, I can't believe You showed me that, and oh, and that's connected to this, and just enjoying time with the Lord, if you've experienced that and it's gone, it's troubling. At least for me, when I notice that I'm out of fellowship with the Lord, it's troubling. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Is bitterness compatible with any of those? No. So if you're bitter, your joy, your love, your peace is out the window. You're not walking in the Spirit. Instead, you're in the trenches of bitterness. Having bitterness being something that constantly occupies your mind.
instead of praying, instead of singing to the Lord, instead of witnessing, instead of rejoicing in your salvation, you're bitter. You're bitter. And I do want to make this note that our sin nature may for a season enjoy bitterness. Can we just be real? Our carnality does like bitterness to an extent. Why? Because bitterness is a way of self-justifying. It's a way of revenge. Bitterness in our carnal nature is a way of, well, that person did wrong against me. I'm going to get back to them by putting this wall up between me and them. I'm going to get back at them by never allowing them to have a chance to make things right. That is bitterness, and that is horrible. And in our sin nature, we might like that. We might like that for a reason. Might feel like we're getting justice, we're getting our revenge, we're getting back at someone. But it will stick. It will stick, and it will make you miserable. And at the same time, while you're being selfish and putting that wall up, at the same time, not only are you becoming miserable, but all those relationships are being destroyed. You need to rip out the root. You need to rip it out. It is troubling. It brings so much trouble. I also see here another problem of bitterness is defilement. Again, the public application. 1 Corinthians 15:33 simply says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." When it comes to, let's say, a church or a home or a workplace, when someone's bitter, they'll talk badly about people, they'll gossip, they'll treat people differently, they'll behave differently. And the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. That starts to rub off on other people's shoulders. That starts to affect the people around them. That defiles the group. You have someone who's bitter, and they're saying mean things, and they're saying crude things, they're being a scorner. What tends to happen is that people that are around them start to pick it up themselves too. It's like a disease. It starts to spread. They start to think the same way as that bitter person. They start to talk the same way as that bitter person. It defiles the group. Don't be that person here, by the way, if I can say that. I'm not trying to be mean. By God's grace, please don't let yourself be that person. Don't be the person that says, "Well, I'm the one who ended up defiling the sweet waters of Maranatha Baptist Church. I'm the one who brought trouble in the group." We may think that bitterness just is a personal sin in the sense that it doesn't hurt anybody else, right? It doesn't defile anybody else. Doesn't sin do that normally? Isn't that how we self-justify sin? We say, "Well, it's not hurting anyone. It's not that bad." Well, firstly, that's a lie from hell. It's hurting your relationship with God, your fellowship with God, any sin. And then secondly, sin does affect other people. It does leave the bounds of yourself. Those around you will know you're bitter. And if you are bitter, you can't cover it up. It'll come out. You might be able to fake it for a little bit, right? We can always try to cover our sin, kind of like Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with the fig leaves. It doesn't work. You might be able to fake the smile for a little bit. "Hey, brother, how's it going? So happy to see you." And it's that fake smile that's not real. You're being disingenuous. You're being deceitful. That's sin. That's wrong. And instead of covering it up, you should deal with it. And I think one of the motivations for sin, for bitterness, for any sin, to keep doing it is because you have deceived yourself into believing that nobody will know. Nobody will find out. Well, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. There's that promise. But also bitterness will manifest itself. It'll come out. Firstly, your thoughts towards others will turn to your talk towards others. Jesus Christ says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." If you constantly think and dwell on being or casting someone down or being bitter towards someone, it's going to come out one way or another. You might not intend it to. There might be a discussion about that person, and you cast in your scorn. The bitterness has come out. Not only will it come out in your speak towards others, but it will come out in your behavior towards others, your treatment of others. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." When you are acting bitter, treating others wrong, it defiles the group, and it brings about every evil work into the group. You're not the same person when you're bitter. I mentioned this earlier. Bitterness will, this is what's so sad. Bitterness will change a sweet-hearted Christian, a Christian who people looked up to, a Christian who people depended upon, a Christian who said, I know I can go to that brother or sister for prayer. I know I can go for them for godly counsel. I know I can go to them for help. And bitterness will take that sweet-hearted Christian and make him the person that they're getting prayed for, that they're the one that people are saying, we need help, this one. This person used to be a blessing, and now they're enveloped in bitterness. It can change things so drastically, even to the point verse 16 mentions a profane person. You can become so bitter that the world doesn't even recognize you as a Christian, that the last thing they think of you, wait, that person's saved? That person's a follower of Jesus? That's the last thing I would have thought. That's how bad bitterness is. That's how much bitterness can change you. What a horrible thing. It brings defilement. It ruins your testimony. It ruins your ability to testify for the Lord. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 4, I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but Hebrews 12, it talks about that Christian race, that marathon, that running the race, fighting the good fight, keeping our eyes on Jesus, finishing well, being found faithful. Listen, I don't know, but you might not be all that concerned about serving the Lord, being found faithful. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't bother you that much. But would it at least bother you that you could be the reason why another Christian doesn't finish their race well? That because of your bitterness, you have an influence on them, and then instead of them serving the Lord and following the Lord, that they end up getting entangled in your sin and also fall out of the race of faith as well? Would you let that at least bother you? That because of your selfish bitterness, you played a role in Christians who were once walking with the Lord to end up becoming bitter just like you? Will that thought bother you? Would that concern you enough to deal with this root of bitterness? And by the way, when we talk about this race, this running the Christian walk, bitterness will get you out of that. Bitterness will get you to quit. Same with other sin. And if I can say, this is a little bit of running a rabbit here, but if I can encourage you Christians, please don't quit the race. Don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop following the Lord. Listen, we don't know how much time is left, right? There might be just a minute on the clock. We don't know. And what a shame would it be to let something like bitterness have its place in our hearts. We fall in the race, the rapture happens, or you pass away, and instead of finishing the race well, and Jesus Christ saying, well thou done good and faithful servant, you end up being found not faithful, away from God, backslidden. Don't quit the race. Don't let bitterness get in your way. Don't let bitterness spring up and take you out of the race. So we saw here problems. We have the quick producement, we have the problems. I also see here in verse 15, the prevention, two words. Looking diligently, keeping an eye out for bitterness. And part of being diligent, by the way, is doing something about it right away. That's being diligent. Hey, this has popped up, let's take care of it. Being diligent. Again, when it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, looking in a group setting. Being diligent is, you notice bitterness in someone else, do what you can lovingly. Say, hey, is there something we can pray about? Is there something I can help you with? Is there something that we can talk about? Be diligent in that sense. Be diligent with yourself. Do you notice that something's sprung up that's not supposed to be there? Deal with it. Take it to the Lord right away. Get that bitterness taken care of. It says you need to look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That word fail means to come short of, to be behind. Will being bitter mean you lose your salvation? No. But it can result in you falling behind in that marathon of the Christian life, that marathon of the Christian life of faith. Because if we are looking at bitterness, we are not looking at the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Therefore, you cannot finish your race well. Psalms 26:2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." That is a prayer of diligence, not only with bitterness, but any other sin. So there's a prevention. Now, some of you may be sitting in here and thinking, well, what if it's too late to prevent? What if I already am bitter? What if I'm already am finding myself with this attitude of unwilling to forgive, this attitude of unwilling to be reconciled, having a grudge, having a problem with someone and not wanting to deal with it? What if I'm already bitter? Well, there is a solution. And again, I'll address the public application first. If you have been diligent to let someone else know, to pray for them, that you've tried to help them, you've tried to minister God's word unto them, and if it comes to a point where they refuse and refuse and refuse to be helped, well, at a certain point, with God's discernment, the only solution then is to separate yourself from that person. Listen, it is not worth your walk, it is not worth your testimony to get entangled in someone else's sin. And sometimes the solution, when it's a public application, all you can do is pray and take up that ministry of prayer for that other person until God does a work in their heart. But what about the personal solution? There's only so much you can do publicly, but there's a lot you can do personally. I have two verses for us in regards to the solution of getting rid of that root of bitterness, or three actually. It says, Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And then Hebrews 12:2-3 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Here's how we can get rid of bitterness. Now, firstly, I want to address Hebrews 12:2-3. We need to look to the Lord Jesus. Part of bitterness, by the way, is selfishness. And sometimes before you can put that bitterness off, you need to get your eyes off yourself and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your eyes to him. Examine him. Consider him. What does that mean? Remember and consider and meditate on what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for you and me, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, was mocked, falsely accused, spit upon, beaten, whipped, had his beard plucked out, crucified on a cross, and what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, went through all of that, and he did not become bitter towards us, because by the way, it was our sin he was bearing. It's not just the Roman and the Jews' fault. He bore our sin on the cross. He didn't become bitter towards us. What excuse do we have? He's God in the flesh, and he didn't become bitter. He didn't deserve any of that. What about us? What about us? Here's my personal example. Many of you may know that for work, I'm a sales representative for a construction manufacturing company. I basically sell bent pieces of metal, so very, very exciting. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. I'm thankful to the Lord for my job. But part of my job is going into lumber yards and hardware stores and talking to customers or the owners of the yards and just trying to sell more stuff, basically. And maybe you guys have experienced this, but if you've ever come across a person where it just feels like you were an answer to prayer, or like, wow, finally, someone who can be my verbal punching bag, right? just you walk in the doors and they say, "Hey, I can just unload on this person." Well, that happened to me. I walked into a lumber yard and I didn't make a mistake, but the man definitely exaggerated and used it as an opportunity to just go on and on and on with rudeness and bitter comments and remarks about myself and just things like that. And I praise the Lord, I didn't explode. I'm still here, so we're good. I didn't explode. But when I walked out of that lumber yard and got in my truck, guess what? The root of bitterness was starting. You know, I'm made out of the same stuff you guys are, right? That root of bitterness was starting to spring up in my truck. I was troubled by what I had just experienced. And I praise the Lord for this. The Holy Spirit ministered to me, whereas I'm dealing with these emotions and the root of bitterness spring up, the Holy Ghost guided me, I believe, I give him the glory, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Considering him. Those simple words, considering him. And I thought about what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for me and all that he suffered and sacrificed for me, and he didn't get bitter. Well, what excuse do I have? And what more, by the way, even though I didn't have a gospel conversation with that person, what more can I be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ in return for what he's done for me by not being bitter and by not allowing that sin to take root in my heart? And by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and remembering what he went through for me, I was able to not only forgive that man as I was driving out of the truck, just forgiving him, but I was able to pray for him. And actually pray for him, you know, sincerely, not just, "I'll pray for you." No, actually pray for him and his salvation. See, when it comes to facing bitterness, you have two choices. When it comes to that root of bitterness springing up, you can either choose to experience a blessing
by having God minister to you and being a blessing to others, or you can take the path of bitterness and just be embittered and just watch as over time that bitterness gets worse and worse and destroys your life, your relationships with others. So we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then also we need to give it to God. We need to give our bitterness to God. We need to let it go. Can I say, sometimes when you are enwrapped in a sin for so long, it starts to become your identity. And for some, when they've been bitter for so long and have that attitude about them, it becomes their identity. Can I remind you our identity is in Christ Jesus, not in bitterness? Can I remind us that? And so because bitterness can become an identity, it becomes hard to let it go, but you have to let it go. That you have to confess it to the Lord. You have to lay it at his feet. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, bitterness included, all unrighteousness. In that personal work example, I could have had my thoughts directed to the Lord Jesus Christ, but if I would have chosen, I'm going to keep this bitterness, I would have became embittered. It wouldn't have solved the problem. We also not only need to look to the Lord, but also give it to the Lord. Confess it to him. Put it away. Be ministered by the Word of God. Search out the Word of God. And lean on him and depend on him. Not on your emotions, not on your feelings. Psalm 119, 143 says, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. Listen, it's never pleasant for someone to be screaming at you and giving all the reasons why bitterness can spring up. But although that trouble and anguish may surround you, you can take delight in God's word, in his promises, in his character, and not have to let the outside affect the inside. So look to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess it to him, give it to him. Lastly, forgive them. Forgive them, even if they don't ask. And again, bitterness has that pride element, right? You don't want to forgive them because that gives them a win, doesn't it? No. It's doing what God wants you to do. Forgive them, even if they don't ask. And also on top of that, because bitterness, you end up treating people worse than human. Because when you're bitter, you'll say rude things or do rude things. You also need to ask for forgiveness yourself. That's hard, isn't it? But it's what's right. Put down the flesh. Put down that sin nature. Forgive them and ask for forgiveness. Even if they never ask, even if they never approach you about it. It needs to be done. And when you do it, don't go into it with the heart of, well, I'm going to go and ask for forgiveness and say, you know, I'm sorry for doing this. I'm sorry for saying that. But then that'll prompt them to say sorry too. Don't go into it with that heart attitude, that motivation. Because what will happen, what can happen, is if you say you're sorry, you ask for forgiveness, and that person just drops it there and says nothing else. Well, because you had that prideful expectation that you were going to get something in return, when they don't say they're sorry themselves, guess what? Back of step one, you're bitter again because you went into it not to do it for God's glory, not to do it because it's right, but to do it for yourself. Isn't bitterness a horrible thing? Proverbs 14:10. I'll close with this. Proverbs 14:10 says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The only one allowing that root of bitterness to be in your heart right now is yourself. It's you. The only one allowing that root of bitterness to be there is yourself. So you're going to rip out the root, or you're going to let it go and just miss out on the blessings of walking with God, miss out on the blessings of having relationships with people, missing out on the blessings of those relationships leading to gospel conversations or ways to serve the Lord. Rip out the root. And lastly, I want to cover, we talked about bitterness has no limits. You can become bitter towards anyone. And that includes God, by the way. You can become bitter towards God. There may be some Christians in here, I don't know, but there may be someone in here born again, saved, and you've become bitter towards God. God, how could you let that happen to me? God, how could this and this and that lead to where I'm at right now? God, how could you let something like this? I thought I served you. I thought I was faithful in prayer. I thought I was faithful in reading your word, and yet this happened to me? You're bitter towards God. You're bitter towards God. Why don't you talk to him about it? Why don't you talk to him about it? Why don't you go to him and say, Lord, I haven't been seeing you as I should. I haven't been treating you as I should. I've become bitter towards you. I've seen myself in a position that's exempt from the troubles of this life. And maybe, just maybe, when you stop being bitter towards God and see him through the light of the scripture and that he's a good and loving God, maybe then you'll come to realize that, wow, God, you brought this in my life to strengthen my faith. You brought this in my life to make my prayer life more deep and meaningful. You've had this and this happen to me because it's led me to these people that I can reach and witness to. And lastly, that was the Christian application. There may be some in here who are not saved and are bitter towards God. I'll give you an example. How could a loving God throw people in hell forever and ever? That's bitterness towards God. And by the way, that thought, that perspective, does not come through the lens of Scripture. It comes through the lens of carnal humanity. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See, when we realize who we actually are in light of the scripture, sinners who have wronged God, God has never wronged us, but we've wronged him. We've sinned against him. When we come to that understanding that we've done wrong against the Lord, we've transgressed his holy law, we've done things contrary to his nature, his character, we've transgressed. When we have that in view and accept it, then the Savior makes sense. Then it makes sense. Then the love of God makes sense. That, wow, I should go to hell. But yet God, out of his love for a low-down sinner like me, shed his blood to pay for all my sins. And if you're not saved in here this morning and you're bitter towards God, I plead that you would understand that Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you while you're yet a sinner, before you ever even knew him or heard his name. He died for you because he loves you. And all he asks in return is for you to trust him, to believe on him, that Jesus Christ shed his blood to pay for all of your sins, died and was buried and rose again the third day so that you could be saved. And despite all of those sins, despite all of that bitterness, Jesus still died for you and his blood can wash away all of your sins. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So I challenge those who are not saved and maybe bitter towards God, would you please consider him and what he's done for you? And Christian, if you're saved and this root of bitterness has been growing in your heart, please rip it out. Talk to the Lord. Confess it to the Lord. Maybe you have to pick up the phone. Maybe you have to sit down and have a conversation with someone. Whatever it is, get it taken care of so that not only can your relationship with them be right, but your fellowship with God be right as well. And through it all, he will get glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord God, I thank you so much, Lord, for this message. It's been such a help to me, Lord, and I pray that it was a help to these people, Lord. I pray, God, that if there's anybody here, Lord, that they would be willing to get rid of bitterness, Lord, to let you have it, Lord, and just look to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. You didn't become bitter towards us, Lord, and we have a multitude of reasons, Lord, of things we've done against you, but yet you never became bitter towards us, Lord. You promised to never cast us out. You promised that we would never lose our salvation. You promised that all that call upon you will be saved. What an amazing, incredible thing, Lord, and also what an example that we have no excuse for sin, especially bitterness. Please, Lord, help us, Lord, to deal with what needs to be dealt with, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that if your Holy Spirit is convicting anyone and you're putting your finger on anything on someone's life or in their heart, I pray, Lord, that they would have the urgency to deal with it, Lord, and confess it before you and make things right, Lord. Bitterness is not worth, Lord, losing our fellowship with you. Bitterness is not worth not walking with you, God. Please, Lord, help us. And thank you so much for your amazing grace and your amazing love that can help us, Lord, as we face the trials and troubles of this life. I love you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.